Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey, this is Achtung Millwall.
Down the middle. He's got Elliot overlapping him. Can he find him?
Yes!
Good afternoon, dear listeners. Welcome to the CV Cauldron that is the Majeski Stadium in Reading. I'm sat sitting next to my Essex boy confederate, Harry Warren. Say hello, listeners, Harry.
Hello, listeners.
Unchanged team today, Harry. No change from last week's game against Aston Villa, 2-1 win. No Byron Webster on the bench, strangely. Sean Hutchinson returns on the bench. That's the only talking point we have team news.
Yeah, I mean, it's... If you prefer, I'm not really a fan of Murray Wallace at the back. I'd much prefer that straight in, but and Webster on the bench. But I suppose, obviously, Webster's out of favour. I don't think that's fair. But Neil Harris obviously sees him in training, so you have to trust the Messiah.
I think as soon as Hutchinson is match fit, dear listeners, he's going to be straight back into the starting 11. At the moment, we're going to go with Murray Wallace. So your Millwall team then is Ben Amos central. You've got Jake Cooper. Murray Wallace on the right back will be Marlon. Left back will be Meredith. His left back. Thank you, Harry. Centre will be Ryan Leonard and Sean Williams. And Ferguson on the wing. Wallace on the wing. Up front will be Elliot and Gregory. I did that purely from memory, dear listeners. I struggled. Did you hear that struggle?
International break, rusty after the international break, aren't you, Nick?
Rusty in many respects, dear listeners. We won't dwell on that. 58th birthday looming, is all I'll say. Soak up that atmosphere, listeners. Sweet Caroline's come on by Neil Diamond. Majeski Stadium is, of course, one of the archetypal shopping centre, edge of town stadiums, one of the first ones of its kind. Meccano roof. I'd say the home stands are sparsely populated, Harry, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I reckon you could fit them all in their home end, shall we say.
Right. A couple of thousand travelling Lions fans in good voice, as you can hear, but there's no atmosphere from the Reading sections whatsoever. I don't know what the fatalities are like outside, because there was one post in the week that predicted 1,800 dead bodies outside when Millwall arrived.
Yeah, he's calling himself Y26, if anyone wants to look him up afterwards. If it's a parody account, it's quite good.
I hope it was. No fatalities so far that we've seen, dear listeners. We are really kick us off. They'll be attacking the Millwall goal. Millwall defending the away end in the first half, which means we'll be attacking the home support, as is right and proper under the Millwall Act of 1873. There is a drum in the house. No, not kind of an Ibiza drum, pounding out a rhythm in tune with your heartbeat, but a far off single drum, football drum, of the kind that we see so many of these days, dear listeners. Game is underway. I should be working from my Bazel watch, dear listeners. I can't see a clock in the stadium, so... Timings may be somewhat, airy-fairy, loose. I make no apologies. My Bazel watch is my faithful guide and companion. Get yourself a Brazil watch, dear listeners. Go to Amazon, get yourself a Casio Brazil watch. You won't live to regret it. Reading just sitting outside the bottom three on 21st position. Mills just one place above them, 10 points to their 9. So it's a bit of a clash of the poor starts. We obviously come into it with increased confidence after that fantastic away performance at Forest and then the home win last week against Aston Villa. Reading seemed to be adrift, a little bit like you've been set free from Captain Bligh's ship, the Bounty. It's far away in the Pacific Ocean, Harry.
Yeah, master and commander of fuck all.
Only Bligh, a couple of handy oarsmen to try and get you back to England, but you will make it because you want to see Fletcher Christian hang. As you can tell, there's not an awful lot of action so far in the game. Here come the Lions. Draw a free kick just past the left side of the halfway line. Approximately 3 minutes into the game. It's going to be a Williams free kick coming in from the left. You're predicting Kirby. Average predicting Kirby is a gambling maestro. He's a fiend of the gambling world. Let's see. Let's put money on it.
Is it going towards Kirby?
10 quid says it goes to Kirby. It does indeed go towards Kirby, but it doesn't reach him. So I've lost tenner on the drink. Average tip there. Lions retain the ball. Marlon puts it forward towards Cooper again. He's still in the mix, but down far end where we need a pair of binoculars or perhaps Captain Bligh's telescope, dear listeners, that Reading bring away. So Reading have possession inside the middle half, managed of course by Paul Clement, who trades and dines out on, nicely dispossessed actually by Shane Ferguson, on having coached at Bayern Munich. On ball forwards, that's towards Gregory. Ball inside, he's nearly found Wallace, unlucky there. Long ball forwards, ticking towards the fifth minute of the game. It's a very flat atmosphere. It's a Meccano Stadium. It's in the middle of a shopping kind of car park mall type arrangement. I think everyone has never been to the Majeski Stadium, which is named after its constructor, John Majeski. Harry, John Majeski named his own stadium after himself, which is I think it's a social faux pas. You only really have things named after you once you're dead, in my opinion.
Oh, unless you discover like some kind of horrible venereal disease, like Dr. Gonorrhea.
Nelson has his column, but only having taken the bullet for his country. But Majeski built his stadium while still alive and kicking. The man who built his fortune on Auto Trader magazine. Does Auto Trader still exist, Harry?
I think it does, but only online.
Online. Took Reading away from their origins in Elm Park in central Reading. The Biscuit Men.
Yeah, the Biscuit Factory.
The Biscuit, Big Friends versus Huntley and Palmer, I suppose. This is going to be a long throw for Big Friends. Far, far away, up in the distance. Approximately 7 minutes into the game, I think. A long throw. It's a headed flick header on that's going to go for a goal kick. They've got like feel-good slogans around the side of the pitch here. I'm seeing, come on you Urs. Back the boys and make some noise, Harry.
That Friday feeling. It's a bit of a weird one.
The future's bright, it's blue and white. That'll get you fired up. Another long ball forward from the Lions towards Gregory, who chases the goalkeeper back, but that's harmlessly gone through. Lions on the attack, nice little ball through. This is Wallace. Shot is deflected over the bar. A little moment there where we worked the space. Wallace was free in the box. Unlucky.
Yeah, great little move. It weren't lumped forward for once. They played through the lines, Millwall. Elliot, Gregory and Wallace linked up and got them into the box. I
first chance for the Lions, 10 minutes. It's going to be a corner taken. Oh, no, not taken quickly. Over on the far left. It'll be Ferguson that takes. In it comes. It's near post but headed clear. Poor call. It goes back to Ferguson. Can he do better with the second ball? He can. That's better. That's in towards Gregory. That's high over the bar. 11 minutes, dear listeners. I'll tell you what I feel, whether it's a library or not, is you feel slightly disconnected as the action's going on in front of you, but you feel like you're watching it on television almost. It's an oddly kind of disconnected stadium. You don't feel part of the drama of the theatre. You are very much a spectator here, Harry, aren't you?
You're watching the act. You're not involved in any way, shape or form. It's like a matinee.
Yeah, exactly so. We're getting a lot more possession than we normally expect to, Harry. We're not defending, are we?
No.
We're playing it around.
And they're giving us space to
this
do it.
This is Marlon on the right. Jed. There's a ball into the near post. That's taken, turned by Gregory and wins a corner. Nice done. Didn't have much of an angle, but he's done well to get a corner.
I'm confused. This isn't the Millwall I know. We're playing football on the floor.
So it's a right-sided corner. Williams will take on the right. Approximately 14 minutes on my Bazell. In it comes. Floated deep, deep, deep towards Cooper. Bouncing around and scuffed clear. It's going to run to Meredith, who takes it first time. Blasts it into the mix, but it's away. But we'll keep possession now. This is Williams on the right. Another ball floated into the middle. That's towards the big men. Still bouncing around. Ryan Leonard's in there. Still loose, but Breading will bring away at last. Nice work. Ball down the left now. Meredith floats it in deep. Ooh. Headed over. Harry got a little bit overexcited a bit too early. Do you find this happens a lot to you, Harry?
A chance to be a fine fucking thing.
Reading look like a team that got no spirit in them whatsoever. They're giving the ball away very cheaply.
Yeah, they look like they miss a bit of steel in the middle, to be fair. They've got quite a lot of players that look quite good when they've got the ball, but without it they look sort of a rudderless ship if we're keeping up with the naval.
Here comes a corner from the right near post. Ball that's bouncing up and around. It's over the bar. Come for another corner left. Lions pressure, Harry. Lions pressure.
Mate, it can't though.
Yeah. In from the left now. Deep, deep, deep corner, bouncing up. That's a header from Cooper. It's aimless, unfortunately. Lions retaining possession yet again. We are keeping the ball. About wide out right. This is Wallace. Plays in Leonard, who takes and stops. And there's a little ball over the top. That's after a great save from the goalkeeper. Ball still bouncing around. Close range header. Fantastic save by that goalkeeper. He's kept the minute there. Dear listeners, that was a chance for the Lions. 16, 17 minutes. Going to go for a corner on the left. Lions growing into the game as each minute ticks along. And in it floats now. It's going to go deep again. Standard, that's towards Cooper, but he misses. This is Jed on the right. He floats it back again into the mix. Ball headed on target, down low. The goalkeeper takes. Nice work, Mill. 17 or so minutes into the game, dear listeners. Lions tackling hard in midfield, but unfortunately Reading will pump that clear, but we're certainly up for it today, dear listeners. Good to see. Ball over the top, Killing. That's a caught on a volley by Elliot as the ball was partially headed away. The ball over the top's catching them out every time. They're giving the ball away very cheaply, Harry.
Yeah, let's just say that we do. But they're trying to play out from the back, and it's just not working. They're getting pressed in.
They don't have the players for it, mate. Little wing possession back again. It's being given away, as we've said, quite easy by Reading. It must be very dispiriting to be a member of that side to watch the ball keep coming back. This is Mill on the attack now. It's going to go for a corner on the right side. I would say about 18 minutes in.
We've got our old Jed back, finally.
Yeah. It's a day for players. They want to recover their position. It's a day where you can make hay in your respective position. This team don't look like they've got any fight or...
I honestly think if we get one, it could be any score. It is that one-sided at the moment.
They haven't got any spunk with them, Harry. No spunk.
I won't answer that.
It's going to be a right-sided corner. Floated in by Williams. It's a near post. Ball was bouncing around. Caught by, Leonard, I think. Long way away. Dear listeners, apologies. It's gone for a goal kick. Come Reading down our right hand side, a bit of possession, and they've now worked a chance to get a ball into the middle. That's across the middle, goal, and hit the post. Rebounds hits the middle defender. Middle dodge a bullet, dear listeners. That was a possession down the wing, crossing, shot hits the post.
Romeo as well saves one on the line. The follow-up shot, come back on the post, and Romeo threw himself in. And so,
should have been a goal, Reading.
Should have been. It all come from a little bit of work. Elliot got turned inside out, and they play the ball in the channel.
22 minutes, I believe, dear listeners. We'll dodge a bullet. Rode their luck. Cut the lines down the right, some ball in from Jed Wallace. That's a flick header on from Lee Gregory on target. Safe on a goalkeeper in the event. Coming towards the halfway point in the first half. I saw Lee Gregory was credited with a dubious goal by the dubious goals committee.
I claimed it was Gregory's at real time, so I'm quite happy.
But what a great committee to get a job on, the dubious goals committee. I want to get a job on that. I wonder how you send a CV in there.
I know a couple of facts about it, and they meet once a month to discuss any dubious goals.
What a great,
and that's about it.
I want in on that one, dear listeners.
Well, you're not one of the Blazers, Nick. You won't get in with them.
I'm not a Blazer. Girls just asked me what I've got in my hand, and it is a dictaphone, dear listeners. I deliberately said dictaphone rather than recorder, because she won't know what dictaphone is. Ball in from the left now, this is Ferguson, deep, deep, deep towards Elliot. goalkeeper takes easily enough. Deja vu all over again, Eric.
Of Nottingham Forest last season.
Dominate the game and go down to a silly goal, yeah. Great tackle, Marlon Romeo drawing applause there. That was a committed right-sided tackle on the 24. Look, I was on the break there for a moment. Good to see. Get a ball, crowd going, a good solid tackle. That's how you do it. The Marlon Romeo song.
Yeah, and the new Marlon Romeo song is probably up there with my favourite current Millwall player song, because he's not just singing their name repeatedly.
He's using the work of Casey and the Sunshine Band as well, Harry, which is a good thing.
Oh, there we go. I would have failed on a pub quiz of that one.
You cannot go wrong by misuse. Well, you won't misuse Casey and the Sunshine Band, dear listeners. Here come Reading, ball in from the right. That's a flick head. That's 1-0. Flick header in from the striker. Ball down the left side, flick header in, simple enough goal. 27, 21. Disappointing, 28 minutes gone. The warning sign was with that chance they hit the post. I mean, it was, well, they got forward, so they don't look too bad. We looked a little bit slack, if I'm honest.
So simple.
Frustratingly so. Low straight back on the attack, but Reading will dispossess him and bring it away. The stadium's got some life in it at last, if nothing else. Here come Reading on the break again, coming down our right now. A chance to get the crossing, they do, it goes for a corner. Right-sided corner as Reading attack, left as we look.
I think Wallace got out jumped for that goal.
I'm going to leave a pregnant pause with that news there. That's called a pregnant pause. Going to be a right-sided corner. We ticked past the 30-minute mark. Ball into the mix. That's headed clear by Tom Elliott. Well, I think the move where they've hit the post has unsettled us. I don't think we believe they were capable of that. And then they obviously scored, and we didn't believe they were capable of that either. So we've got to get five, refine away. We're doing well at the start of the half.
Bit like Villa, we went 1-0 down, and then yeah. It was all Millwall. We just need that goal, and that'll be it. I think I called it on by saying that one goal and they'll crumble. It's my fault. This is
Jed Wallace, brings the ball, midfield. Ball out wide for Marlon, he does find him. Come down the right, that's probably a little bit overhit, the sliding tackle there. The 24, I think that was, paid him back for his sliding tackle early on. Lofted forwards towards Tom Elliott, ball's bouncing around, it's taken by Lee Gregory, fires it in at the goalkeeper, another taken turn, going for a corner on the left side. 33 minutes.
10 corners, 5 corners, yeah, 6 corners?
A lot of possession, a lot of chances actually, but no execution.
Harris Bingo, clinical. Again, listeners, you can play along at home. Must be more clinical.
Here it comes from the left. Deep, deep, deep. Towards the mix. Ball bouncing around. Yeah. Oh! Close range shot, headed down. Coaching from close. Who's got that? Harry
Wallace.
Wallace. I take back every word I said about Wallace.
It was a tap in from 5 yards, but yeah.
Waddle, Millwall. We're angled. Can't see the replay. So that was a headed down ball from memory. And Harry tells me Murray Wallace stuffed it home from close. Lions deserve that, dear listeners. We didn't deserve to be behind. We just switched off for a moment and we paid a price, which some will argue makes you deserving. But we deserve to be back in the game. Well, it's got the Lions fans going. A few aggressive gestures over there, Harry.
The library's livened up.
35 minutes and everything. They're like a burden has been relieved from our shoulders with that goal.
Yeah, we should never have been behind.
No. It's a travesty. We've got the ultra youth, we've got the primary school youth down in front of us. I don't like to see kids doing that, honestly, dear listeners.
Are they part of the 1885 youth podcast?
I know they're alienated by the Brexit vote and they're feeling like angry of society, but I don't like to see young kids making wanker signs and slip throats.
I saw a bit in the paper the other day that they don't drink or smoke or...
Than you. No.
Yeah, they don't do that.
They're just into ultra-violence.
Flag waving.
They're drinking milk in the Corova bar. They don't do anything, but they do art into ultra-violence.
The cool pussycat.
Hold up. We don't need that. Right next to me. feral youth have been instructed by their parents to go and bang the corrugated iron, man. I don't need that.
You miserable old bastard.
Ah, kids. They're all alienated, dear listeners. The Brexit vote's gone against them. Their future's been stolen by an older generation.
It might have saved their generation.
And they find solace in ultra-violence now. Nihilism. What have you brought me to here, Eric?
It's all coming off now.
Kids. It's all kids. I'm ready. Down our right. It's going to go for a corner. Right side of corner. Coming towards 38 minutes or so. Yeah, I mean, we can't go in behind, not after recovering the situation like we did.
Ferguson looks like a new man, doesn't he? I'm growing to love him like a bird trapped in a cage.
Love's a strong word.
Well, I mean, like him a lot.
Give him a lot.
Yeah.
In comes the corner from the right side, Reading on the attack. Flashes across the middle area, catches it on the volley, that's over the bar. Over the bar.
He did not know where that was. No. Don't pretend you did, Amos. He stood there rooted to the spot, arch-esque.
You're not a fan of Amos, are you?
I'm not a fan of Amos. I just don't see the difference. They're much of the same. They're not quality goalkeepers. I think it's the one place where, really, I thought we needed to strengthen from last season to push on. I know the league's moved forward.
Amos is not strengthening, is he? I mean, I put them on a par in some ways. They both have their strong and weak areas.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted us to make a Tony Warner type.
Elliot down hurt, strained something, landing.
He called for a ball. I think it was Jeb Wallace took the ball off him, and I don't know if he's got like a finger in the eye or something like that.
Right. King Harold style, like a Hastings. He got an arrow in the eye, didn't he? Something of that kind.
History, politics, all on this show.
There was an obituary I saw in the Hastings Observer in the week, because it was October the 14th, I think, was the anniversary of 1066. And someone put an advert in the local paper in memoriam of Harold Godwinson, King of the English,
yes,
who died for his country.
I
don't know why he's so bothering with almost 1,000 years later, but fair play to those who
beat. I suppose he won the Battle of Stamford Bridge.
He did. I remember the Times used to have a regular, or the Telegraph, have a regular advert for Richard III from the Richard III Society, who published some Latin phrase in memoriam of Richard III each year, who died at Bosworth Field, famously. So, yeah, a bit of history for you there, dear listeners. I don't know why you carry on with press obituaries for them, but anyway. Oddity. I like a bit of oddity, don't you, dear listeners? I quite approve of eccentricity. There should be more of it in this world.
Someone comes and asks you in your block where you sit with a yellow plumed hat.
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, I don't be bothered by eccentrics. I quite like the fact they exist. I don't want to be talking to them. 41 minutes, Lions trying to put the ball forward. That's going to go aimlessly through to the yellow clad Reading goal. Reading in their traditional blue and white hoops. Lions playing in the grey. I don't like the grey kit. Do you like that grey kit? I mean, fucking horrible.
Millwall should play in blue, white and yellow.
Conceivably yellow.
Yellow or black and gold.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It should be the lion colour.
Grey has no place in the Millwall.
Neither does green, neither does red. Unless it's got
doesn't.
Captain Morgan sponsored
doesn't.
On the front.
Doesn't. It's not part of us. Our colour scheme.
The Tony Warner goalkeeping kit was nice in red.
It's going to be a Reading corner. No, it's a throw-in, sorry. Excuse me, dear listeners, as we're coming towards 43, 44 minutes-ish.
One man in the box.
We've been caught out a couple of times. They're passing as they come forwards. Little chance there. There's a little bit of space. Raising the middle penalty area. Marlon should be there. He is. He's given a penalty. No, for a penalty! No! Awful decision. And a yellow card. Fucking hell. Disgraceful decision. A fair tackle. That's drawing of the Rough and Iron Mill fans. Rightly so. Reading get a penalty and a sort of stroke at half time. Awful decision in my opinion, dear listeners. By the time you hear this, you'll see it on your YouTube. It's going to be a penalty for Reading.
To give that, he could not wait. Romeo won the change, flicked it against his leg. It did go the other way, but he definitely won the ball.
Reading with an unjustified penalty, in my opinion. Here we go. steps up to take it. It's 2-1. Missile came over from the Reading side there. That's caused some ructions. This has got every chance of kicking off on the most average away days.
They just launched something at us, didn't they?
Something over that came over from the Reading section.
The Y26 mob have started.
They'll pay for that afterwards if that's the line they want to take.
I've got to be honest, on the peripheries of the Millwall support, it's mostly kids. I'm not talking about youngsters, I'm talking
kids.
Family and kids. That will not go down well.
No, absolutely. That was an awful decision, dear listeners.
What one, the referee or the Reading fans deciding to try and start a war with Millwall?
Players restarted, the ball into the Reading box, that's going to run through to the yellow clad goalkeeper. I missed how many extra minutes there are, so I don't know how long we've got to go in the extra time at the end of the half. It's about 1 minute over at the moment. I think it's a game for Morrison and his dark arts in the second half, Harry. I can't see Elliott carrying on.
No, I think he's
not been particularly bad, don't get me wrong, it's just the game suited to Steve Morrison's abilities.
Yeah, it's a between the lines game.
Ball lofted in, that's gone to Jake Cooper, gone through the goalkeeper.
They seem to be having a lot more chances, that's bollocks.
There's the half-time break, you should get it in, Reading 2-1 at the break. I'll have to see that penalty again, that decision, it didn't look like it in real time, Harry.
I won't, that was fucking awful. Romeo wins the ball, you won't see it because I'm going to guess the camera angle's going to be on the wrong side.
We had the perfect angle, we are
literally 20 yards, well, it's in front of us, we're at a risen angle to view it. Romeo made a good decision, stayed on his feet to the right moment, flicked the ball back against the 24, and it rolled off for a corner, for a goal kick even, and he gave the penalty, he waited an age and then gave it.
You know what a real fan think of that.
Achtung, Mehlball.
A few half-time tweets. I've got Aisha Smith here saying we can certainly see who's paid the referee's wages this week. No way was that a penalty. It was a great tackle. Cheating bastard, Harry.
I agree.
Henshaw says shouldn't dive in like that when there's no danger and we're 30 seconds off of half time. He's got shit for brains. I think he means Marlon by that, Bill.
I think he's talking about Marlon, but he needed to make a challenge because that was the bloke who put in the cross for the first goal when he had time and space, and they scored from his cross. I mean, he's got a delivery on him, whatever his faults are. So
Jake Sanders, journalist Jake, says Webb, that's the referee, booed by the Mill fans as he leaves the pitch. It looked harsh on Romeo, but Jake says it was also clumsy and unnecessary. And Henshaw replies, Bill says, geezer's a dimwit.
Balance Millwall support.
He'd probably be right there.
Balance Millwall support.
Tony Thomas, Millwall TT, says, that was never a penalty, he says. The tackle was right in front of me, clearly got the ball, didn't even get the player, disgraceful. Worse still, we should be leading comfortably. I believe he's correct, Tony. Grumpy Grimace says, Marlon clearly won the ball, which ricocheted off the Reading player who then went down. Not one of their players appealed for it, including the fellow on the ground. It's an abhorrent decision, says Grumpy McGrimace. Abhorrent. Omar Renane asks the players, or says that players like Ferguson and Tom Elliott are putting the shift in and showing their worth, but where is the quality that's going to win this game for us, asks Omar. Desperately missing a player to take our chances. I think that's been the story of the season.
Yeah, need to spend money on a striker. Oh wait, we did.
Did we sign a bloke for £1 million? What's his name? Brad
something like that. Maybe you should bring him on at half time. Might be an idea.
Hot Tramp, I love you so. A bit of David Bowie to liven up our afternoon in the ground there, dear listeners.
It's David Bowie t-shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, the Millwall halfway line says it was never a penalty and he hasn't got his Millwall goggles on. I think that's conclusive. I think the jury has come to its conclusion and the referee is guilty of
heinous
crime of awarding a penalty against Millwall.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Tom Bradshaw, just having this debate, listeners. Tom Bradshaw, all joking aside, we have paid £1 million for him and he's not being used at all. We've had opportunities. I think Lee Gregory's done well in that first half, so I'm not sure he's droppable at the moment, but equally we're not getting a goal, so at some stage Bradshaw's going to ask What's he doing here?
For me, I don't necessarily see that we have to play this target man. I know the QPR, you played both of them and it didn't work,
yeah.
But this is a totally different game than QPR in the sense that everything we've done in the air hasn't worked, everything we've done on the floor has worked.
Yeah, I agree. Certainly at the moment, I mean, we've had opportunities which we've not taken. We look vaguely dangerous without really looking overtly dangerous.
Your support has not gone unnoticed. Crank it up now. What the fuck is this?
For the boys.
Wow. There you go.
There's a lot of derision for Mr. Pye for now.
Well,
but you go away from home and you realise he's actually not that bad.
No. And you know, also I think phrases like that should make you proud to be a Millwall fan, that you do not engage in this kind of stuff. This is what other teams are like. Waiting for kickoff at the moment, and it seems to be an eternity. Lining it up. We're underway whilst I adjust my bezel. France attacking us in the away end of the second half. Unfortunately, one goal behind now, thanks to that decision at the end of the first half, which you may or may not have mentioned once or twice. About 48 minutes on my Bazell. Cooper's in the mix. I see Murray Wallace in the mix. Elliot. Lee Gregory. It's going to be a chance to cross the ball, and it comes. It's deep towards Tom Elliott. He hits a crossbar. Batting for the goal. Bouncing around off the line. Reading dodge a bullet there. That was a real chance for the Lions. I froze in real time. I apologise, dear listeners. That was a real moment where the ball seemed to stick on the line. Wouldn't go over. It's going to be another corner on the right side as we attack, dear listeners.
Who's their number six?
Reading's number six.
Yeah. Hasn't stopped fucking moaning. Every time it goes in there, he's got his hands all over Gregory and he's moaning that Gregory's failing him.
Is he a Ramona?
He's definitely a Ramona.
He's going to come in from the right side. It's a corner kick and it comes into the mix. That's across the box. Powell's for a penalty, not given. Cooper was manhandled. And it comes from Ryan Leonard. That's going to go for a left-sided corner as we attack.
Two-man rugby tackled him.
Yeah. Lions have approached the second half with intent. It's going to be a left-sided corner from Shawnee Williams. And it comes. It's towards the mix. It's Elliot gets his head to his wide, unfortunately. 51, 52.
Post?
Sorry, mate.
Why is Cooper going front post?
Probably the length of the long throw. He's not that far, I suppose. So he's going for a near post. In it comes. There he is. Bouncing up and around. Elliot got checked there.
That doesn't work because he's at the wrong angle. He's better going to the back post and running to the front post.
Nicely won headed there by Tom Elliott. Straight into the possession of Reading, but it's the way to go, dear listeners. Marlon dispossesses, is Reading on the break, dispossesses that ball through the middle. Reading, great save by Tom Ben Amos there. Pushed wide left as the Reading striker went through from that break. Chance for Reading now, I'd say. It's gone for a corner on the left side in the event. Big moment for Reading. That would have made it 3-1, and I think that might have been game, set and match, but as it is, it's a corner on the left side. Something's got to change at the moment. We're looking a little bit drifty. As matters stand, this is that's gone for a Reading throw-in down by the right-sided corner flag, a few yards short of that. Coming towards, just gone past 55 minutes rather. Ball in from the right, deep. That's taken off the head of the forward. It's gone for a goal kick, nil free kick, just inside the Reading half. 56, 57 minutes ish. Chance to. Dig the ball into the middle, the usual style. Jake Cooper's gone forwards. Wallace is there. That's towards Cooper. Gets his head to it. It's bouncing around and goalkeeper takes. Long angle. He wins everything in the air, Cooper, doesn't he?
Yeah. You know, apart from when it matters in our own box.
Apart from then, yeah.
Hutchinson, didn't he?
Well, Hutchinson brings a certain discipline and form and structure, which I think Wallace just doesn't. He's very much a fill-in defender for me. The story of Webster's the one that's intriguing me. Where is Webster? What's wrong with him? Why is he not in this squad? That's a story for another day. 60 minute looms.
What did you go? Three subs?
All three in one go?
Yeah, fuck it.
Need something radical. We're not looking the part at the moment. We've got a little bit of drift. 60 minutes, got half an hour still to go. So three subs would make an impact of some kind. lofted forwards there from the free kick on the halfway line. That's Jake Cooper gets his head to it across the face of the goal, just away from Wallace. Free kick awarded against Jake Cooper for a great tackle. Yellow card. Poor decision. He won the ball, but then he's giving penalties away for the same kind of offence, Harry. So I think the man got it right there with that remark from the crowd. The Royals, of course, made up nickname, a bit like the Eagles. They pin it on the Royal Borough of Berkshire, but it's a made up nickname. The known tradition is the Biscuit Men, due to the Huntley and Palmer's biscuit connotations. A bit like Crystal Palace made up their Eagles nickname when they were previously the Glaziers, traditionally. So you've got to have loathing and contempt for teams that make up nicknames. They're balled into the box. That's hoofed there by the 24. It's sideways. No offence there. Without the Mill for Paz howling for a penalty on Ryan Leonard. Keep possession. This is Leonard, Ferguson on the left. Meredith runs straight into a wall there. Free kick given, finally, against the 12. For holding. Surely a yellow card then, really, holding into that situation.
You'd expect so, but not if this come.
65th minute of the game. We're coming towards the halfway point in the second half. We need a break of some sort, dear listeners. We've not done much this second half. Not enough.
This is the perfect free kick. If you just roll it to the edge of that box, just smash it. Just literally, gently Meredith there. It should be someone like Williams, left footed, yeah. Just smash it.
And it comes from Ferguson. Left-sided free kick into the mix. That's headed clear. 69 minutes gone-ish. Williams is going to take down below us.
Is that Aidan or is that Morrison? It doesn't look like a decrepit old man. It's Aidan.
Aidan's coming into the game when this passage finishes. That's long, deep. Surely no free kick penalty there. As you can gather by the noise around me, that was Cooper getting manhandled again. It falls to Ferguson. Shot blasted from close range into the goalkeeper. Takes and turns. Lovely little take and turn. That's a little header. That's wide from Gregory, from Leonard. Apologies, dear listeners.
How is that not a pen on Cooper?
We're not going to get a penalty today, we've got to accept that.
Never.
Meredith's coming out of the game. In comes Aidan LeBron. I think, as you say, Ferguson drops back deep, Harry. Over the chequered blue and white top hat's just gone through the Reading section. As you do. Ball over the top, trying to find Lee Gregory. I think we do need to mix it up, change things. I know that Aidan's coming, but I'll be looking also at Steve Morrison and Bradshaw. Why not? Some point soon. This is Marlon. Little 1-2 with Jed Wallace. Nicely done. Cross into the box. It falls to Elliott. It blasts it over. Near the penalty spot. Chance. 16, 17 minutes to go. The Silver Fox is coming in. Elliott's coming out. Dismissive wave of the hand. Regal. Almost from Harry to dispatch Elliott from the match. In comes the Silver Fox himself. Worshipping motion from Harry now. At 12 minutes from to make an impact. Here come the Lions now. This is O'Brien. Wide left. This is Ferguson now inside the last 10 minutes. Going to be about 82 minutes-ish. Little inside is O'Brien. Off the first defender. Morrison Woods at the far post with that cross there. It's going to be a corner. Left-sided corner. Williams has come over to take. Aidan O'Brien, of course, played for the Republic of Ireland. I think Williams did in one game, but not the second game for the Republic. That's floating into the middle. It's still bouncing around. Marlon, wide right. This is Jed Wallace now. Lions turning a little bit of pressure up. Takes his man on. Jinx inside. That's kind of gone nowhere, but he finds Ferguson. Will he have a go? He will.
Yes.
Oh, bounced a deflection off the goalkeeper. He knew nothing about that. Cleared in the end by the defender 6. Right-sided corner. Fired in by Shane Ferguson on a percentage basis, I would say. Has gone for a right-sided corner. In comes the corner. Deep, deep, deep. Far post. Off the post! From Steve Morrison. No. Come off the post. Bullet header from Steve Morrison the cross, and I thought it hit the post.
I thought it went in when he blew up. I thought he was lining up for the fucking watch.
Yeah. 85th minute, Reading with a left-sided corner. Pressing forwards. They've been pinned back increasingly as the half's gone along, as we chased it down. We are looking now at the last few minutes of the proceedings, a game that we shouldn't
have let go, but there we are. Such is life. In it comes from the left. That's 3-1.
Poor hit. Well, close range header. No defence worth the name there, as far as I could see. Headed downwards, up, was into the top of the net. 3-1. Game over. Poor defence. They are a kind of a plastic club, aren't they? I mean, I know they've just gone 3-1 up, so there's a certain amount of sour grapes, but it represents all that is kind of empty and nothing about modern football, I think.
Yeah, it is. You know, they're suddenly singing, they've been quiet all day, it's been a nothing game.
One kid's got his shirt off. There's a lot of kids knocking around on our side too.
It's very pathetic. A bit like Mills defending.
Poor defending, non-existent defending for that goal, dear listeners. I want to see that back. We haven't had the benefit of the screen here, so I'll have to look at that again on the replays, but it didn't look like defending of any description at all, which is a worry in this league. This is one of the poorest sides we're going to play in this league, and you know they've actually created chances and taken them.
Yeah, I think that, but I think also the pivotal point of the game is you have to score when you're on top. We didn't. You have to get a little bit of rubber to green with refereeing decisions in this league. Unfortunately, we
didn't get that.
We seem to be in a league where the standard of refereeing continuously gets poorer. You know, we were on top for a large period today, and there it goes.
Argy-bargy to our right. A little bit of pushing and shoving. I don't think they're going to get close to them. There's a cordon sanitaire, as the French would call it, between the Millwall and the Reading fans. One or two try to get through there. No big deal, I don't think.
The cordon sanitaire in the old days wouldn't have stopped Millwall, would it, Nick, in your day?
No. But it's netting. The netting's quite a difficult thing to get across, isn't it? It's a bit like a bouncy castle.
Ball lofted forward from inside the middle half, and Cooper gets ahead to it. He's won everything in the air. For me, I'm going to make Jake Cooper the man of the match.
There is the final whistle, as you can gather. Reading 3, Millwall 1. I think we've said all we can say about that particular event. Dear listeners, big thank you to Harry Warren for this week's show. Thank you, Harry.
No worries, mate.
Out of the slosh now, mate.
Oh, I fucking need to after that.
The Lucas Ball Report.
Full time at the Majesty Stadium, and it's Reading 3, Millwall 1. It's poor from Millwall, in truth. A game in which they dominated, created the majority of the chances, but three defensive lapses, and all of which were punished by Reading. For two of the goals, they just decided to leave Matey open in the box, and he headed past Amos twice. Amos left with no chance. The penalty is a bit of a silly challenge by Marlon Romeo. You don't want to give the ref the opportunity to give the foul there, which he did, and Baldock converted, but sent Amos the wrong way. Lots of positives for Millwall, in truth, but just needs to be more clinical in their finishing, and plenty to work on ahead of two big games this week. Need to take at least 4 points out of those two, you feel. Come on, you Lions.
And so into the bottom three, dear listeners, after yesterday's 3-1 loss at Reading. Disappointing result, especially on the back of the recent improvement in form and performance. Shall we have the debate early on, dear listeners, as to whether that was a good performance by Millwall yesterday, as Neil Harris said in the post-match conversations. He alludes to a good performance but no result. So good performances with no result are not, for me, good performances, unfortunately. I know that there's an argument that the style of play has improved, and we did indeed control large stretches of yesterday's game. Neil says, speaking to the press, why did we lose? He asks ultimately, and he's correct, we didn't take more than one of the 24 chances that we created yesterday. That many. I think he said also something about going into the final third, the Reading third of the pitch, over 50 times. But in the quote I've got here, he says, we didn't take more than one of the 24 chances we created. You're probably looking at 14 clear-cut chances, and I'd say 6 sitters. There's a problem, dear listeners, isn't it? I know it's the same problem that we've had all season, and it's easy to identify problems, harder to do anything about it. But the contrast is made by Neil here. Reading, I didn't think were that great, in all honesty, but they were great when it came to finishing the opportunities that they created for themselves, especially the first goal, which I thought, I haven't seen any of them back yet, so, you know, forgive me if you've had the benefit of seeing the video. I don't, as I record these notes. But the first chance, I thought, was well finished. The penalty, there's a debate online about whether Marlon needed to make the challenge. I thought he looked like he got the ball from our vantage point, which is kind of above the corner flag, Harry and myself. Yesterday, I didn't think penalty in real time, but the referee looked like he couldn't wait to give it. These are the realities that we have to live with, dear listeners. Neil Harris says he got it wrong. The referee got it wrong. He's seen it from two different angles, and it's just wrong. Also, talk on the WhatsApp group post game of some kind of filing of complaints being made with the English Football League or whatever subcommittee sits in jurisdiction over refereeing. I'm not sure where that's going to go. I get a strong sense absolutely fucking nowhere, but there we are. You can but complain and make the point that we get pretty crap referees week in and week out. Jay Taylor says the game changed after that awful penalty decision. It did, Jay. And also, you're right in saying it doesn't excuse the second half performance, which was poor. Should have been out of sight after half an hour, but again, not clinical enough. Same old Millwall, says Jay Taylor. Sam Brown, Achtung Mill's newest recruit. Sam Brown, Mill defeated and finding themselves back in the bottom three. Reading move up the table, leapfrogging the Lions. What went wrong today, asks Sam. How important is a win on Tuesday night, and has the tide really turned? No, the tide hasn't really turned, Sam. A win on Tuesday night is critical, in my opinion, because yesterday was dispiriting for me in a sense that we had actually the ball probably far more often than we would normally expect to have possession of the football. Passed it around, we did create chances and we didn't take them. And that's been the storyline over too many of our games this season. So Tuesday night at the Den, never very enticing, but we do need a win. It is critical. If we sink deeper and deeper into the bottom three, it's going to become ever harder to get ourselves out of it. And a team that doesn't take its chances is a relegation-bound team. So they're... just to cheer you up, that's my take on that. Some other Twitter comment, journalist Jake Saunders says, bar some sloppiness in the second half, Millwall were excellent today. Dominated virtually every stat, but when you're down at the bottom, playing well means nothing if you leave points behind. Wigan and Ipswich at the Den are massive, and Dan Houghton replying says Ipswich is a 6 points already. Millwall halfway line poses a debating point here, and maybe we can pose this to all of you dear listeners, because he asks the right questions. Millwall halfway line, how do we improve this team? It's a simple question, he says, but perhaps with a complicated answer. We've spent a couple of million pounds on players who can't get in the team. Asking for views from fellow Lions fans, Stuart replies, the same as they must have discussed earlier in the pub, no idea why we've signed Scalak or Bradshaw. Not a clue as to how we improve it. We were piss poor today, says Stuart. The Bradshaw situation and to an extent the Scalak situation is screaming out of me, dear listen. I don't know about you. Bradshaw sitting on the bench, £1 million striker, which is big money by our standards. I know it's not big money in Championship standards, but that's one of our biggest record signings. And we're not fielding him, and this raises question marks. I know that Lee Gregory, you know, he's not for giving up his shirt. Elliot yesterday was not bad, but not brilliant, if we have to be bluntly honest. He's had a little bit of improvement in form recently. I would think in terms of a Bradshaw-Gregory starting lineup, which will mean we have to change the approach somewhat, but I think there are hard questions being asked, and they will require hard answers, and that may well be the way we have to go. Just in conclusion on the debate that Millwall halfway line has with Stu on Twitter, MHL says he's struggling with John Berylson, a great chairman, but John has always said that we're fucked because of the low crowds, and yet home gates went up last season by 35%, and they're up this season. I think I saw the average home gate is quite high by Mill standards, 14,000 so far this season. And we have record statistic season ticket sales. Time for the club to deliver, says the Mill halfway line. And so on to Wigan on Tuesday night. I will be there for that game, dear listeners. Wigan at home, 23rd of October. And then, unfortunately, a game I can't make for, we're away next weekend, so can't make the Ipswich game. There'll be a slight break in shows for after Tuesday. I'm going to do one for Tuesday night to keep you updated on the midweek fixture. And next show will be back for the Norwich game, which will be on the 10th of November. So a slight hiatus until then, dear listeners. Big congratulations to Johnny Garton, British welterweight boxing champion. Won a huge fight last night in Brentwood.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Big congratulations to Johnny. I met him a couple of weeks ago on the walk for Charlie Wynn. The team were all wearing Charlie Wynn support t-shirts in the ring. Met Johnny Garton. What a lovely guy. What a quietly spoken guy. Very polite, nice bloke, and what a warrior in the ring. I'm not the biggest boxing fan in the world, dear listeners, but I respect the sport and the trade of boxing, and I have maximum respect for Johnny Garton, the Mill champion, British welterweight champion. Well done, John. I hope you're having a nice, easy day today, mate. And we'll be back midweek after the Wigan game. Arrivederci, Millwall.
You've been listening to Octoon Millwall, the CBL Magazine podcast. That's the Millwall news this week, and we are out of here.